Hi, this is Wilner Cusick from NSOARS, and today I'm talking to Dan Ryan. He's the director of the Sonia Ansari Center for Autism at Logan Center in South Bend. Dan is also a member of the board of directors of NSOARS. I will be speaking to Dan today about the topic of executive function challenges, which create learning difficulties for many of our young people in schools in Indiana and elsewhere. Thank you so much for taking part in our podcast series.
You're welcome, Wilner. I'm happy to talk with you about this topic because I know so many families of children and adults who struggle to overcome executive function challenges. And I'm very happy to say that many of them do quite well when they're provided with the appropriate supports and understanding from others. I'd like to let everyone know that much of what we'll be talking about today, I gleaned from a really helpful book by Dr. Joyce Cooper Kahn and Dr. Lori Dietzel, which is called Late, Lost, and Unprepared, A Parent's Guide to Helping Children with Executive Functioning. This is a really great title because it really describes the situation of many young people with executive function challenges. And at the end of our podcast, I will give a few other references which may be helpful to parents and teachers who want to learn more about this topic.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot, Dan. Could you tell me what the term executive functioning really refers to?
Sure, Wilner. In basic language, it refers to the brain's ability to utilize all of the necessary functions needed to accomplish a task from start to finish. It affects the child's ability to plan, to organize, to manage time, to recall knowledge from memory, to problem solve when encountering difficulty, and other activities needed to complete tasks. So just as business executives are responsible for all aspects of planning and coordinating all available resources to accomplish a business goal, a person's executive function capability refers to the ability of his brain to coordinate all the different parts of his brain to perform the appropriate function to complete a task. And probably a more formal definition is executive functions are a set of processes that all have to do with managing oneself and one's resources in order to achieve a goal. So it's an umbrella term for the neurologically based skills involving mental control and self-regulation. For purposes of this podcast, we're focusing more on the functions that have to do with planning and organizing, since those are important skills for success in school. But it is important to note that executive functions also play a role in impulse control and emotional regulation.
So, Dan, tell me, how can parents and teachers tell if a child may have executive function challenges?
Well, these are the kids who are chronically late turning in papers. They may show up for a soccer practice without their soccer bag. They may say things without thinking. They may read something and then forget what they read. They may wait till the last minute to begin a task and then get caught short of time to complete the task. These are kids who have trouble completing all of the steps of a task. For instance, they may finish their homework assignment and then forget to turn it in. And it's often very frustrating for parents, teachers, and the children themselves, because these are often very bright children who become stymied when trying to solve a problem that may come easily to other children, even to other children who are less intellectually gifted. And some of these kids may have exceptional ability to focus on specific topics and memorize information about topics of interest, and yet have difficulty recalling other information related to school assignments or self-help skills. It's really hard sometimes for parents and teachers to understand how a child can memorize the names of all of the countries in Africa and their capitals, but forgets to bring his lunch money to school or forgets the location of his locker. These scattered skills are typical of children with executive function challenges.
Wow, well, this sounds like this covers a lot of children. So which children are most likely to have executive function challenges?
Well, many children can have these challenges, but typically children who have an ADHD diagnosis will have these challenges, and often children who have a diagnosis on the autism spectrum do as well. There are other children who may have learning differences who may need help in this area, and I would say on any given day, almost any one of us can have these kinds of issues, but these kids have it on a regular basis. And as is true of so many other human characteristics, the degree to which these challenges impact children can vary greatly from one individual to another.
Based on what you just said, what is one of the fundamental challenges for people with these challenges?
These children often have great difficulty understanding and coping with the proper sequence of events, which guide everything from daily self-help activities to academic assignments. So, for example, a task as simple as putting on a pair of socks and shoes requires planning and following a specific sequence. If a child slips his feet into shoes before putting on his socks, he or she is unable to dress properly. So they have to get the sequence right. And in school, a student doing a math assignment that gets stuck on the second word problem on the page and continues spending time on that problem without realizing he needs to skip that one and move on to the next problem will never complete the math assignment.
So what happens to the child and his family if he has these challenges and he doesn't get the help and the accommodation that he needs?
Well, there is both a direct and an indirect consequence for children when they don't get the help that they need. A direct consequence is that children underperform in school and are not able to use their intellectual abilities to their full potential. But equally important is the indirect consequences, which include things like increased family stress and frustration, which actually impacts the entire family. And for the individual himself or herself, there are issues of low self-esteem and often the development of a negative attitude towards school, isolation from peers, possibly even dropping out of school, and poor employment outcomes in adult life.
So what are some of the accommodations that can help children and adults with executive functioning challenges?
Well, there are actually a number of accommodations, but something that is really important is that children with these challenges, like all children with learning differences, need lots of understanding, patience, support, and encouragement. It may well be a natural reaction to tell a disorganized child that they must get their act together, and I'm sure many parents have found themselves saying that. However, this approach, without coaching and providing tools to provide them with specific help, can actually create more frustration, a sense of hopelessness, avoidance, and resentment. And in fact, applying pressure and threats and emotionally charged reactions can actually shut down the disorganized child and undermine our attempts to motivate them to improve. Dr. Gail Mengel, who is an expert in this field, has gone so far to say that with these children, it becomes important to realize that how we teach is almost as important as what is taught. And as I mentioned earlier, children and adults vary in terms of the degree to which these challenges impact their learning. And each individual has his own unique learning profile. So what works for one child may not be as effective for another child. The degree to which parents and teachers can work together to understand a specific child's learning style and share their observations about what strategies are most helpful will be a good indicator of how successful that child will be at home and school. And the importance of communication and teamwork between parents and school personnel cannot be overemphasized. So to give you some examples of helpful tools that can benefit a lot of these children, providing a schedule that outlines the appropriate sequence of activities needed to get through the child's routines at home and school, or the steps needed to complete a task at home, such as toothbrushing, or at school, such as writing a social skills paper. As I mentioned earlier, sequencing does not come easily for these children, or understanding the proper sequence of things. So the extent that you can provide an accommodation for that, which could be a schedule, could either be a visual or written, depending on the individual's needs and learning style. Many children with these challenges are visual learners, so a picture schedule may work the best for them. Another strategy is providing a task list in checklist form, and a task list differs from a schedule in that it provides a list of tasks. Expectations to accomplish a specific task, but it does not specify a particular order in which the tasks must be performed. Checklists can be also something that incorporates pictures for impact, but it's also very motivational when children are able to check off the specific activities that they've accomplished on the way to performing the task completely. Another very important thing is to help the individual learn how to break down tasks into smaller components and then prioritize and estimate the time that they need and the materials they need to accomplish each element of the task. Reinforcing successful attempts at being organized and completing tasks is very important, and using specific language about what the child did correctly, and especially emphasizing the thinking words. For example, you may want to say, "You remembered to put your homework in your backpack," or "You thought about it and realized your library book was due today," or something like, "You recognized that you left a word out in that sentence." It just helps give them the cue that they need to take a second when they're accomplishing a task to really reflect on what they're actually doing and the thinking part that goes into accomplishing every task. Another accommodation that many kids benefit from, as I mentioned, a lot of these children do have difficulty with time management. So providing timers, special watches, and other visual items can really help with the time management aspect. And then the other thing that's very important is providing kids with opportunities to do social skill development. It will help them have a better understanding of appropriate social behaviors and expectation, so that a child learns to think about the social consequences of speaking before they actually say something that may end up being offensive to their peers. So there are many other proven techniques to help these students, helping children with executive function challenges to a greater sense of control over their lives is an important part of this effort. And without a sense that they can overcome and control the disorganization and frustration they experience, they are less likely to develop internal motivation to get organized. So coaching them and breaking down tasks, using strategies, making decisions, and increasing awareness of their thinking process all help to provide this sense of control.
Wow, and those are, you know, great accommodations. I mean, these are things that I think that every classroom teacher can use, you know, just in general. Thanks a lot. What are some of the resources that listeners can check out if they're interested in learning more about executive function challenges?
Okay, well, I have just a few book resources to mention, and then the website of the Indiana Resource Center for Autism. But to get started with the books, I mentioned at the beginning, Late, Lost, and Unprepared, A Parent's Guide to Helping Children with Executive Functioning by Joyce Cooper Kahn and Lori Dietzel. And the author is Cooper-Kahn for Cooper Kahn, and Dietzel is Dietzel. Another helpful book is Asperger's Syndrome and the Elementary Experience, Practical Solutions for Academic and Social Difficulties. And that book is by Susan Thompson Moore, M-O-O-R-E. Another helpful book is by Dr. Martin L. Kutchner, and his last name is spelled K-U-T-S-C-H-E-R. And the title of that book is Kids in the Syndrome Mix of ADHD, LD, Asperger's, Tourette's, Bipolar, and More. Very good book. And then lastly, Dr. Thompson's Straight Talk on Autism by Dr. Travis Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. I mentioned the website for the Indiana Resource Center for Autism at IU Bloomington. They have many helpful articles and also links to websites that provide more information about executive function challenges. And their website is www.iidc.indiana, spelled out, .edu/IRCA.
Thank you so much for your time, Dan, and that vat of information that you shared with us. And if people even have more questions, I think that they could feel free in contacting you at Logan Center.
Sure. I'd be happy to try and help families find some resources in this area. Our number is 574-289-4831.
Okay. Thanks so much again, Dan.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.